The classically told story usually places a single protagonist at the heart of the telling. One variation of minimalism, however, is to use multi-protagonists, each with his own compacted story, and weave these together to design the telling. Examples of multi-plot films? Shortcuts, Parenthood, Do the Right Thing, Eat, Drink, Man, Woman. The single protagonist of an arc plot tends to be active and dynamic, willingly pursuing desire through ever-escalating conflict and change. The protagonist of a mini-plot design, although not inert, is relatively reactive and passive. Generally, this passivity is compensated for by giving the protagonist a powerful inner struggle, as in The Accidental Tourist, or by surrounding him with dramatic events, such as in the multi-plot design of Pele the Conqueror. An arc plot begins at a certain point in time, moves, with or without flashbacks, elliptically through more or less continuous time, and ends at a later date. Anti-plot, on the other hand, often scrambles or fragments time, making it difficult, if not impossible, to sort out what happened into any clear sequence. For example, the film Bad Timing. Arc plot stresses how things happen in the world, how a cause triggers an effect, how this effect becomes a cause that triggers yet another effect. If flashbacks are used, they are handled so that the audience can place the story's events in their temporal order. The anti-plot, on the other hand, often substitutes coincidence for causality, putting emphasis on the random collisions of things in the universe that lead to meaninglessness and absurdity. An arc plot unfolds within a consistent reality, but reality in this case doesn't mean actuality. For even the most naturalistic life-as-lived mini-plots abstract and rarefy existence. Each fictional reality uniquely establishes how things happen within it. In an arc plot, these rules cannot be broken, even if they are freakish. Virtually all works in the fantasy genre, for example, are arc plots in which whimsical rules of reality are strictly obeyed. Suppose that in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, a human character were to chase Roger, a cartoon character, toward a locked door. Suddenly, Roger flattens into two dimensions, slides under the sill, and escapes. The human slams into the door. Fine. But now this becomes a story rule. No human can catch Roger because he can switch to two dimensions and escape. Should the writer want Roger caught in a future scene, he would have to devise a non-human agent or go back to rewrite the previous chase. Having created story rules for causality, the writer of an arc plot must work within his self-created discipline. In an anti-plot, however, the only rule is to break rules. In Jean-Luc Godard's Weekend, a Parisian couple decides to murder an elderly aunt for the insurance. On the way to the aunt's country home, an accident, more hallucinatory than real, destroys their red sports car. Later, as the couple trudges on foot down a lovely shaded lane, Emily Bronte suddenly appears, plucked out of 19th-century England and dropped onto a 20th-century French path, reading from her novel, Wuthering Heights. The Parisians hate Emily on sight, whip out a Zippo lighter, set her crinoline skirts on fire, burn her to a crisp, and walk on. A slap in the face for classical literature? Perhaps. But it doesn't happen again. This isn't a time travel movie. No one else shows up out of the past or future, just Emily, just once. A rule made to be broken. The formal contradictions and contrasts between arc plot, mini plot, and anti plot are not hard and fast. There are unlimited shades and degrees of openness, closeness, passivity, activity, consistent, inconsistent reality, and the like. All storytelling possibilities are distributed inside the story design triangle, but only a very few films are of such purity of form that they settle at its extreme corners. The Fabulous Baker Boys falls halfway between arc plot and mini plot. It is not as classically designed as Chinatown or The Seven Samurai, nor as open and minimalistic as Five Easy Pieces. A film like Barton Fink sits at the center, drawing qualities from each of the three extremes. Above the line between mini-plot and anti-plot, the line at the bottom of the story triangle, are stories in which life clearly changes. At the limits of mini-plot, however, change may be virtually invisible because it occurs at the deepest level of inner conflict, a film such as Husbands. Change at the limits of anti-plot may explode into a cosmic joke, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. But in both cases, stories arc and life changes for better or worse. Below this line, stories remain in stasis and do not arc. The value-charged condition of the character's life at the end of the film is virtually identical to the opening. Story dissolves into portraiture, either a portrait of verisimilitude or absurdity. I term these films non-plot. Although they inform us, touch us, and have their own rhetorical or formal structures, they do not tell story. Therefore, they fall inside a greater triangle that would include everything that could be loosely called narrative, but outside the story triangle. In slice-of-life works, such as Diary of a Country Priest, Umberto D., Faces, and Naked, we discover protagonists leading lonely, troubled lives. They're tested by even more suffering, but by the film's end, they seem resigned to the pain of life, even ready for more. In The Phantom of Liberty and The Discreet Charm of the Bourgeoisie, the foolish characters at the opening are just as absurd and foolish at the end. Although nothing changes within the universe of a non-plot, we gain a sobering insight and hopefully something changes within us. What are the politics of story design? In an ideal world, art and politics would never touch. In reality, they can't keep their hands off each other. So as in all things, a politics lurks inside the story triangle. The politics of taste, the politics of festivals and awards, and most importantly, the politics of artistic versus commercial success. And as in all things political, the distortion of truth is greatest at the extremes. Each of us has a natural address somewhere on the story triangle. The danger is that for reasons more ideological than personal, you may feel compelled to leave home and work in a distant corner, trapping yourself into designing stories you don't in your heart believe. But if you take an honest look at the cinema's often specious polemics, you won't lose your way. Over the years, the primary political issue in cinema has been Hollywood film versus art film. Although the terms seem dated, their partisans are very contemporary and vocal. Traditionally, their arguments have been framed in terms of big versus low budget, special effects versus painterly composition, the star system versus ensemble acting, private finance versus government support, and auteurs versus guns for hire. Behind the political squabbling over finance, distribution, and awards lies a deep cultural divide, reflecting the opposing worldviews of the arc plot versus mini-plot and anti-plot. From story to story, the writer may move anywhere within the triangle, but most of us feel more at home in one place or the other. You must make your own political choices and decide where you reside. As you do, let me offer these points for you to weigh. First, your career. The writer must earn his living writing. A talented writer's survival in the real world of film and television, theater and publishing, begins with his recognition of this fact. As story design moves away from the arc plot and down the triangle toward the far reaches of mini-plot, anti-plot, and non-plot, the audience shrinks. This atrophy of audience has nothing to do with quality or lack of it. All three corners of the story triangle gleam with masterworks the world treasures, pieces of perfection for our imperfect world. Rather, the audience shrinks for this reason. Most human beings believe that life brings closed experiences of absolute irreversible change, that their greatest sources of conflict are external to themselves, that they are the single and active protagonist of their own existence, that their existence operates through continuous time within a consistent, causally interconnected reality, and that inside this reality, events happen for explainable and meaningful reasons. Since our first ancestor stared into a fire of his own making and thought the thought, "I am," this is how human beings have seen the world and themselves in it. Classical design is a mirror of the human mind. Classical design is a model of memory and anticipation. When we think back to the past, do we piece events together anti-structured, minimalistically? No. We collect and shape our memories around an arc plot in order to bring back the past vividly. When we daydream about the future, what we dread or pray will happen, is our vision minimalistic, anti-structured? No. We mold our fantasies and hopes into an arc plot. Classical design displays the temporal, spatial, and causal patterns of human perception. When the audience senses that a story is drifting too close to fictional realities it finds tedious or meaningless, it feels alienated and turns away. This is true of intelligent, sensitive people of all incomes and backgrounds. The vast majority of human beings cannot endorse the inconsistent realities of anti-plot, the internalized passivity of mini-plot, and the static circularity of non-plot as metaphors for life as they live it. As story reaches the bottom of the triangle, the audience has shrunk to those loyal, cinephile intellectuals who love to have their realities twisted once in a while. This is an enthusiastic, challenging audience, but it is also a very small audience. If you wish to write mini-plot or anti-plot, and can find a non-Hollywood producer to work at low budget, and are happy with relatively little money for yourself, good. Do it. But when you write for Hollywood, a low-budget script is no asset. If a Hollywood producer likes your work, he or she will option it and show it to A-list actors and directors, those very expensive artists whose names and reputations reassure nervous studio executives. These professionals will read your minimalist or anti-structured piece, perhaps applaud your handling of image, but decline to be involved, because experience has taught them that if the story is inconsequential, so is the audience. The producer will then abandon your work. Even modest Hollywood budgets run into tens of millions of dollars, and each film must find an audience large enough to repay its cost at a profit greater than the same money would have earned in a secured investment. Why should investors place millions at enormous jeopardy when they can put it into real estate and at least have a building when they're done? Not something that's shown in a couple film festivals, shoved into a refrigerated vault, and forgotten. If a Hollywood studio is going to take this wild ride with you, you must write a film that has at least a chance of recouping its huge risk. In other words, a film that leans toward the arc plot. Second, your development as an artist. The writer must master classical form. By instinct or study, fine writers recognize that minimalism and anti-structure are not independent forms, but reactions to the classical. Mini-plot and anti-plot were born out of the arc plot. One shrinks it, the other contradicts it. Therefore, great storytellers have always known that, regardless of background or education, everyone, consciously or instinctively, enters the story ritual with classical anticipation. To make mini-plot and anti-plot work, the writer must play with or against this expectancy. Only by carefully and creatively shattering or bending the classical form can the artist lead the audience to perceive the inner life hidden in a mini-plot, or to accept the chilling absurdity of an anti-plot. But how can a writer creatively reduce or reverse that which he does not understand? Writers who have found success in the deep corners of the story triangle knew that the starting point of understanding is at the top and began their careers in the classical. Ingmar Bergman wrote and directed love stories, social and historical dramas for 20 years before he dared venture into the minimalism of The Silence or the anti-structure of Persona. Fellini made Evitione and La Strada before he risked the mini-plot of Armacord or the anti-plot of 8½. Godard first made Breathless before Weekend. Robert Altman perfected his story talents in TV series Bonanza and Alfred Hitchcock Presents. First, the masters mastered the arc plot.